We are spending the month of March studying five different stories in the book of Acts of people who heard the good news of Jesus, who were transformed by his grace, and who have lived resurrection lives. And so we get to do that in Acts chapter 16 today. Welcome. My name is Jody Sledge. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a joy to see you. I know we have some visitors here today. It's good to see you guys. Thankful that you're here. Thankful for what God has for us today from his word. So today we're going to be, in, as I said, Acts 16, verses 11 through 15. So here is the word of the Lord. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have today to hear from your word, God. Lord, we're thankful for this short story of this woman who was sitting on the banks of a river one day praying with some other women, and a man named Paul and some of his companions came up to her and shared the best news that she could have ever heard in her life, that Jesus saves, that he lived and died and rose again to save sinners, God. And so I pray that you would help us as we look to this story today to see that it's our story for those of us who are in Christ. And it's the call that you've placed upon our lives, God, to go and tell this story with others. God, would you speak to us? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I could never do that. I could never do that. So my boys like to watch Dude Perfect. I don't know if you watch them or not. And I'm always thinking, I could never do that. These guys got famous by doing trick shots on YouTube. They do amazing ping pong shots, bottle flips. I mean, they're shooting basketballs off the roofs of buildings. There's just no way that I could ever do that. No way. And I'm sure you think that at times, too. I mean, maybe it's some amazing athlete that you see, and you're thinking, yeah, I could never do that. Maybe it's someone that can cook just the most amazing meal, and you're just thinking, yeah, I could never do that. Maybe someone just paints the most beautiful artwork, and you think, I could never do that. Maybe you see some amazing musician, and you just think, yeah, I could never do that. You know, we've come to God's word today in the book of Acts, and the Apostle Paul is bringing the good news of Jesus to a group of women. And my guess is that many of us today are thinking, I could never do that. I could never be a missionary. I could never go around the world or around the city sharing the gospel. I could never just like literally walk up to a group of ladies and start talking with them about Jesus. You know, there's many wonderful things that we do as Christians, but proclaiming the good news of Jesus is probably the hardest one that we have to do. And so praise God for those who are especially gifted in sharing the gospel. We're thankful for that. But I'm guessing that most of us today feel like it's something that we could just never do. Could never share the good news of Jesus. But God in his goodness is speaking to us today. Speaking to us from the story of Lydia. And in this simple little story, God is going to show us what happens when someone becomes a Christian. So here's what happens. We do the talking, God does the saving, and then our lives do the showing. You know, it could be easy. We're reading through the book of Acts. We're looking at Paul, his missionary journeys. It could be easy to think, well, good for him. I'm glad he went and did that. Glad he went to all those cities and preached the good news I'm glad he did that, but that's not me. Maybe you're thinking that today. Friends, my prayer for us today is that we would see that we can do what the Apostle Paul is doing here in this story. I want us to see from Lydia's story just how people are saved so that we might faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So notice first in the story, we do the talking. We do the talking. We saw in chapter 9 a few weeks ago this amazing transformation of Paul, who was violently opposed to the church of Jesus until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, his life was never the same. He immediately started proclaiming the gospel, and eventually God sent him all around the world to proclaim the gospel to the nations. And that's where we are here in Acts chapter 16. Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he's joined by Silas and Timothy and Luke, who's writing this book. They had been preaching the gospel in what we call modern-day Turkey, and one night Paul has a vision of a man who's standing over the sea in Greece, in Macedonia, Luke calls it. And it's a vision of this man saying, "Paul, come here and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us." And so Paul and his friends head that way to preach the gospel. And that's where we pick up in verse 11. Read it again. Luke says, "So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony." So Paul's now in this city of Philippi. And this is the very first time that the good news of Jesus has come to the continent of Europe. What an amazing thing. The very first time that the gospel has come to Europe. And notice the strategy of what they're going to do here. Look at verse 13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside of the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together." So this was just Paul's thing. He would go into a city, and he would find where are the Jews in this city. That would be kind of his starting point in his ministry. And so here he is on the Sabbath day, which is an important day to the Jews, assuming there's going to be some Jewish people worshiping somewhere. The Jews love to do their ritual washing, so they're probably going to be at a river or somewhere. And in fact, he finds it. It's a place of prayer outside of the city at a river. Now, it seems that there's probably no official synagogue, which was a gathering of Jews. It would have taken at least 10 men to establish one. And the fact that they're outside the city shows that they're probably not very welcomed to their community. But I want us to see what Luke wants to highlight for us. Notice how this is just the simple speaking of the good news of Jesus. There's nothing fancy going on here in this story. It's just a group of men sitting with a group of women beside a river talking about Jesus. That's all that's going on. See, Paul is not concerned about, "Look, we're going into this city. I need to rent out the biggest stadium we can get so we can put on the biggest show we can put on and draw in the biggest crowd we can get in." Paul's not trying to look for the most influential people and powerful in the city. There are some amazing preaching moments in the book of Acts. The apostles stand before massive crowds and before councils and before kings. But don't miss the simplicity in this story. Paul and his friends are just sitting with some women talking about Jesus. So what part do we play in the salvation of sinners? God's word is clear here, right? We do the talking. You see, Jesus has commissioned us to go and make disciples, and he's called us to be witnesses to his life and his death and his resurrection. And how do we do that? By opening our mouths and talking about the good news of Jesus. Paul would say this in Romans 10. In verse 13, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved." What a promise. But then notice what he says. "Then how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Do you see what he's saying? If you have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, how can you do that if you don't have faith? And how can you have faith if no one has told you about Jesus? Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not a preacher. Paul says someone's got to go and preach to them. That's not me. I'm not a preacher. I don't stand up and preach sermons like you're doing right now. Listen, he doesn't have this in mind. What he has in mind is just the simple proclamation of the good news that Jesus lived and died and rose again. And all of us can do that. I mean, we all love to talk about things that excite us, don't we? Talk about our kids. Talk about the greatest movies we've ever seen. We talk about our sports teams, don't we, that we love to watch. We talk about the restaurants that we love. I mean, listen, if Jesus really did die and rise again to save sinners, then nothing should be more exciting for us to talk about than Jesus. I know that fear can hold us back. I know we can feel inadequate. I feel that way at times. But God is just calling us to do the talking. If you are a Christian today, you are a Christian because someone talked about Jesus with you. Someone opened their mouth and shared the good news of Jesus with you. Lydia, this woman here, is going to be in heaven one day because the Apostle Paul and his friends showed up this day and opened their mouths and talked with them about Jesus. Pastor Lance asked all of us a few weeks ago, who will be in heaven because of you? Because you opened your mouth and talked to them about Jesus. Beloved, it is our job to do the telling. Is it hard at times? Absolutely, it's hard at times. Absolutely, it's hard. But is it worth it? Yes, absolutely, it's worth it. So, brothers and sisters, let's remember just how amazing Jesus is, and let's go and proclaim him. Let's go and let's do the talking. So first, we do the talking. Second, God does the saving. God does the saving. Our story zooms in on one of the women there listening to Paul. Look at verse 14. One of those who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Luke tells us this woman's name is Lydia. She's named after the region from where she's come, and her name means beautiful one. Luke tells us she's a seller of purple goods. Purple is a difficult color to find in nature, so it was often very expensive. And she was probably a very wealthy woman to be selling such expensive clothing. And the Bible certainly has strong warnings against our wealth, but this story shows us that God will use and can use anyone who is willing to come to Jesus. And notice that Luke tells us that she was a worshiper of God. Lydia, just like the Ethiopian man we saw, and Cornelius, like we saw last week, they're not Jewish people, but they're worshiping the God of Israel. And like we saw last week, Jesus is saving for himself a people from every nation and tribe and tongue. And that's exactly what he's about to do with this wealthy Gentile woman. Luke tells us there, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Notice how God is working here. It is the Lord who opened her heart. Lydia's not just like, man, I got to try really, really, really hard to pay attention to what they're saying here because this seems awesome. And Paul isn't saying, man, I've got these women in the palm of my hand and I've got to preach the best sermon I've ever preached in my life or nothing's going to happen here. No, the Lord is working. Listen, the Bible could not be any clearer than that sentence. God is the one who saves sinners. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It is a gracious gift of a merciful God. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. You see, on our own, we are heartless and helpless and hopeless. And if we're going to be saved, then God is going to be the one that must do it. Salvation is the mighty work of a gracious and loving God. Notice also in that sentence that God is opening Lydia's heart. Salvation comes to us as an inward transformation. Something is happening on the inside of Lydia. You see, when the prophets of old looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, one of the things they often said is that God would do real heart work through Jesus. God would sprinkle our hearts clean. God would write his law on our hearts. God would remove our hard hearts and give us a heart of flesh, a heart that is alive to him. And that's exactly what God is doing here. Listen, Lydia is a worshiper of God, but she's still a sinner. And she doesn't just need a new religion, she needs a new heart. And so God is working to give her a new birth, to make her a new creation, to make her alive in Christ. Listen, this is important. When someone is saved, they're not just making a decision. God is working a miracle. Salvation is not just about a choice that we make one day whether or not to follow Jesus. It's about a calling. God calls dead sinners to come alive as an act of grace. You are not saved because you prayed a prayer. You're not saved because you may have walked an aisle at a church. You're not even saved because you were baptized, as we saw earlier today. You are saved because God opened your heart to the good news of Jesus Christ. Just as God said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. God looked into your dead heart and he said, "Let there be life," and there was life. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that God has shown into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. God is the one who saves sinners. And notice that God opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to the words of Paul. Now, it might seem an odd phrase. It might seem like God is just helping Lydia be a good listener. My wife teaches first grade, and I'm sure she's telling them all day long, "Hey guys, be good listeners," right? Be good listeners. God is not just helping Lydia be a good girl here and pay attention to the sermon, right? Something is happening inside Lydia. She's listening to the words of Paul, and she is receiving them. She's accepting them. She's believing them. She's responding to them. You see, Luke will tell us in the next verse about her baptism. She's not just listening about Jesus and then when it's over saying, "That was great, where are we going for lunch?" She's receiving Jesus. She wants to believe in him. She wants to call upon his name in order to be saved. And that is the work of God in her life. That was part of Eva's testimony we heard earlier. That the more and more that God was working, she was listening to sermons better and hearing the word of God, and God was doing that work in her heart. You see, her story and this story of Lydia couldn't be any clearer. We do the talking, but it's God and God alone who does the saving. God does the saving. So what does that mean for us? Well, if you're not a Christian, this is great news for you today. Because if you would turn from your sin and believe in Jesus, God can and God will save you. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or white or black, or doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Doesn't matter how good you are, or how bad you've lived your life. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And praise God that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And praise Him that He will save anyone and everyone who will come to Him. So if you've never been saved, would you do that today? Would you come to Jesus and be saved? Come and find forgiveness and grace in Jesus. Turn from your sin and trust in Christ. And come and treasure Jesus with us. Come find hope in the two greatest words ever spoken. Jesus saves. If that's you today, we'd love to talk with you more about that. But if you are a Christian, listen. This means that we have received the immeasurable gift of God's grace in Jesus. God did not spare His Son to save us. What an amazing gift. Jesus willingly shed His blood on the cross to save us. What amazing mercy. The Spirit of God has graciously given us new life. What an amazing love. Are you not overwhelmed by this amazing gift of grace? Heaven's favorite hanging on a cross. The King of creation killed in our place. The servant of the Lord suffering and slain to save us. The good shepherd shedding His blood for our sin. The Lamb of God laying down His life for us. Let us forever be humbled by this gift and forever grateful for this gift. And let's trust that God delights to save sinners, just like you and just like me. I mean, listen, this truth should bring us so much encouragement and boldness. It's not up to you to save sinners. It's not up to me to save sinners. We do the talking, God does the saving. It's not our job to save people. It's not our job to just say everything just right so that they'll believe in Jesus. We just do the talking. God does the miracle work of salvation. So listen, you don't have to have all the answers. You never will have all the answers. None of us will. You don't have to have the absolute best presentation that you could have ever shared with someone who doesn't know Jesus. You don't have to know all the best arguments for the Christian faith. All you have to do is talk about Jesus. He lived the perfect life you couldn't live. He died the death on the cross that you deserve. He rose in victory on the third day to give us hope and forgiveness and grace. All we must do is talk about Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, let's proclaim Him, trusting God to do the work. God will do the saving. Lastly, I want us to see that our lives do the showing. So we do the talking, God does the saving, and then our lives do the showing. So Luke moves on to tell us the rest of the story. Listen to verse 15. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed on us. So God worked this amazing miracle of salvation in Lydia. And upon her faith, now she is baptized in Jesus. Luke doesn't tell us much about her family, but he tells us that everyone in her home was baptized too. And listen, this is a huge moment. Lydia is the first person to believe in Jesus in Europe. The gospel is truly spreading to the ends of the earth. And notice how she responds to her new faith in Jesus. I mean, she is so ready to follow Jesus, she just has to have these men to stay in her home. I love how Luke puts it. She prevailed upon us. I mean, he was there. He saw this woman's faith. He saw her baptized, and he saw her new life in Christ. So this story shows us that with a new heart comes a new life, and with a new life comes a new love. Lydia is now filled with a love for Jesus and a love for his people. You see, this was the beginning of the very first church in Philippi, the very first church in all of Europe. And more than likely, as the church grew, they met in her home for worship and for prayer. Listen, this is a beautiful picture of the nature of the church. In a world that was dominated by men, Lydia is proof that the kingdom of Christ is for anyone and for everyone. I mean, she is proof that women played an amazing role in the church and in the spread of the Christian message around the world. I mean, we just see in the Bible, Jesus' ministry was funded by a group of wealthy women. When you read the Gospels, the greatest displays of faith in the Gospel are often women. Women were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. Paul often had women co-laboring him as missionaries. Women like Lydia would often host churches in their homes. You can turn to the book of Romans in chapter 16, and Paul will praise 10 different women for their kingdom work. And so the church may have different gifts, and God's word is clear we have different roles, but God's word is also clear that women are vital to the church. If you're a woman or a young lady or even a little girl, we are so thankful for you. This church is thankful for you. You might be thinking, okay, what's that got to do with anything here? Luke is showing us that men and women, boys and girls, all of us, our lives are called to display the good news that we claim to believe. People who meet Jesus are changed by Jesus. If there's no transformation in your life, there's no saving faith in your life. You might say, I'm a Christian. You might say, yeah, I believed in Jesus when I was young. If there is no transformation of life, then there is no saving faith. We're not saved by the way that we live, but the way that we live is the evidence. It's the fruit of the salvation that God has worked in us. The way that we live our lives shows that we believe in Jesus. Now, I know none of us are perfect. We all stumble in many ways, but as a whole, our lives should reflect our Savior. And it's when our lives reflect Jesus that God often provides opportunities to proclaim Jesus. Jesus tells us to let our lights shine before men so that they might see our good deeds and give glory to our God and Father in heaven. Peter, in his letter, would tell us to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Didn't we hear that in Jill's testimony today, that she saw it in the lives of the people around her, that they loved Jesus? You see, we should live our lives so devoted to Jesus that we just look crazy to the world. And they have to ask us, why do you live like that? Now, I'm not saying we should be crazy. Don't be a crazy person. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we should live in a way that looks so much like Jesus that to the world it looks crazy. When we forgive people who wrong us, the way that Jesus has done, that will look crazy to the world. When we love our enemies like Jesus did, that will look crazy to the world. When we pursue purity like Jesus did, that will look crazy to the world. When we overflow with generosity like Jesus did, that will look crazy to the world. When we love the church, when we love one another the way that Jesus did, that will look crazy. And this will give us the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. We should live our lives in such a way that people can't help but ask, why do you live like that? Now, I'm not saying that being good people should replace us actually speaking the gospel. Don't hear me saying, be really nice at work and that's good enough. You can be the kindest person at work and all your coworkers will still die and go to hell without trusting in Jesus. So be kind at work and tell people why you're being kind at work. And remember, no one will want to hear you talk about Jesus if you're the worst person to work with at your workplace. The way that we live our lives should show that we have been changed by Jesus. Lydia's life was changed by Jesus, and it showed. Immediately, you could see it in her life. And so if our lives have been changed by Jesus, then it should show as well. And so, brothers and sisters, let's look to Jesus so that we might look more and more like Jesus. And let our lives do the showing so that we can do the telling and God can do the saving. We can certainly do that. You know, this story of Lydia is a beautiful resurrection story. But it's not just her story, it's my story. And it's your story if you're in Christ as well. In fact, it's the story of every Christian who has ever lived and who will ever live. The work of salvation is the most amazing and most wonderful thing we will ever know. But it's really very simple. We do the talking. We open our mouths and we tell the good news of Jesus. His life, his death, and his resurrection. That perfect gift of grace and love. We do the talking and God does the saving. Every salvation is a miracle. It is a miraculous work of divine grace. We are dead in our sins, but God makes us alive in Christ. So God does the saving and our lives then do the showing. Our lives show that change comes when we know and love the grace of Jesus. When Christ becomes our new treasure, then our lives are never the same. And our lives can show to a world around us just how amazingly wonderful Jesus really is. So we do the talking so God can do the saving, and our lives do the showing so that Jesus can get the glory. God is calling us today through the story of Lydia to faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, it may be true that there are many things in life that we can never do. But proclaiming Jesus is one thing we can do. It's one thing that we must do. It's one thing by the grace of Jesus that we will do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word today, God. What a blessing it is to think about how simple it is when someone comes to faith in Jesus. God, we know that it was a salvation that came at much cost. That Jesus had to lay down his perfect life, had to shed his pure blood, had to give up himself into obedience even to death on a cross so that we could be saved. So God, we know that it's costly, but it was costly to you and to Christ. But to us it was free, a free gift of grace. And not only did he do that, Lord, but one day in your sovereign plan and your goodness, you sent someone to us, maybe a mother or a father, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe a random person that just showed up to us one day. God, we're thankful that whoever did the talking, Lord, did it so that we might be saved, God. We're thankful for that work of salvation that you have brought in us, God, that you did that work of of the miracle of bringing a new life, a new transformation in us, God. What a gift, God. God, I pray for anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, God, that you would work the miracle in their heart, even as they hear about Jesus today, God, that you would open their heart to hear and to pay attention so that they may give their lives to Christ and put their faith in him, God. And for those of us who are in Christ, help us to boldly proclaim so that others may come to faith, God. It's so easy to be fearful or timid or shy, or we don't want to be that guy, or we don't want to be awkward. But God, give us the confidence and the boldness to simply talk about how amazingly wonderful Jesus is. And God, would you save many through us, God? Would there be many people in heaven because we opened our mouths and we shared the good news of Jesus? And God, would you continue that work in our lives so that we may live in such a way that people have to ask, why do you live that way? So that they might hear the good news, they may be saved, and God, you may receive all the glory. God, we thank you for your word today, and we pray that all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.